give an offering without the microphone on? The answer is yes. It's just not as guilt-ridden. Okay, so it's more effective with the microphone on. That's the way it is. Allow me to pray for you. Lord, thank you for the sunshine. And Lord, we'll even take the 30 degrees. Lord, you've given us a day. You put air in our lungs. You put our feet on the floor. You gave us this day, Lord, to be with you and to walk with you in your presence, to take the Holy Spirit with us wherever we go. And we have felt your presence in this place even this morning. But God, oh, let us go from this place today knowing the certainty, the blessing, the assurance of your presence wherever we go. So thank you for your many blessings, Lord. And I pray for those that in this Christmas time of year, maybe things are thin, or maybe they need another opportunity, or they need you to open a door. I pray, God, that you would give them wisdom and bless them, Father, in their efforts as they honor you, Lord Jesus, first. So thank you, Father, for your many blessings. Thank you for your church. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want you to find a Bible, if you would. If you find a Bible, there's one underneath the seat there. Because here's the scoop. We're going to read from the scripture. And I just may throw words in today that aren't there. Just to see if you're reading, okay? I may make some stuff up. It just dawned on me after 30 years of doing this today. I kind of went, well, I could just make stuff up. Okay? You know what I'm saying? And God says in verse 3, buy your pastor Christmas gifts. It says right there. Okay? And if you're not looking at it, then you won't know whether I'm making stuff up or not. That's being a little facetious, but here's the scoop. You do understand that there's something very, very precious about these words that God wrote with you in mind. I'm not kidding with Janice. I'm thinking with your name in mind. He put down his words for you so that you might know him better. I mean, that's awesome. And there have been many people who have given their lives, put their lives on the line for this word. So for us, maybe not to open it and to look at it, and to think about it, to read it, to consider it, that's kind of doing it a disgrace. We need to read. So John chapter 6 is where we are. And if you notice this passage here, should look pretty familiar because the last 2 weeks we've spent time speaking out of this passage. It starts out with an awesome story, of which I went over to this front row last week, and I pretended to hand out meals to people as the fish and the loaves are brought, and Jesus says, bring me what you have, and he blesses it and then gives it to his disciples, and the creator looks at the created and says, you get to be a part of the miracle. That's wild. You get to be a part of the miracle. Can I give you a really terrible illustration right now? You may remember it though, okay? It's just so superficial. It's unreal. But it's the one that comes to mind. I saw a few years ago, Tom Burns, former member of this church, if they're watching on video, we don't talk to you anymore because you've moved to North Carolina now or whatever it is. Okay, so North, South Carolina, whatever. Tom Burns and I went to see Joe Walsh. How many of you guys know who Joe Walsh is? We saw Joe Walsh, and Joe Walsh has always been one of my favorites. Joe Walsh is one of those guys that's had way too much popularity, did way too many drugs, and actually has come out on the other side. He's got some amazing music now that talks about a second chance at life and his, quote, higher power. I'd love to talk with Joe and find out more about that. No, don't know if I'll get the opportunity. Went and saw Joe because he's one of my favorite musicians. He's a guitar player. And Joe comes out. It's about 8 o'clock at night at Klipsch. And he comes out and he takes the stage and he says, "Good morning," which everyone laughed because probably for Joe, that actually was morning at 8 o'clock at night. And he proceeded to play for the next 2 hours. But here's the thing about Joe that was wild. Joe's had all kinds of gold albums. He's made all kinds of money. He's got all kinds of popularity. But he lets other people take solos. Even the backup singers. He looks at the backup singer and you take the lead on this. You take the solo on this. I'm a guitar player, but I got other guitar players. You play lead on this. You take the solo here. He talks about his musicians. He talks about his friends. He brags on them. He shares the stage with them. He invites the opening act to come out and to join them at the end. It's just there's no pretense to this guy whatsoever. He just likes to play music and jam, and if you like to listen to his music, that's awesome. If you don't, that's cool. And he just kind of goes along. But he just includes people. I told you it was a lousy example. It's pretty superficial. But to think that Jesus included his disciples with all the mistakes that they would make, because we've read about some of them, with all of their inadequacies, with all their fears, Peter denies him. Let's remember, there's another 10 that are missing. Aren't even on the scene, okay? I mean, they had a lot of inadequacies, a whole lot of humanity going on, and Jesus decides to include them in the miracle. That's wild to begin with. To think that he would include me, and Arnie, he would include you. That's awesome. That's awesome. And then we went from feeding of 5,000, we talked last week about Jesus walking on the water. Again, he includes his disciples in strange ways. And I want you to hear this real fast. He sends them on ahead. He retreats to kind of get some solitude, and probably to breathe deep and to talk with his Heavenly Father and to recoup a bit. And so it's later when he goes to join his disciples, he goes walking across the waves because he basically had sent them into a storm. And here's these inadequate guys again who just experienced a miracle, like 12 baskets full. Everybody gets a basket when they're done to come back with. How did this happen? But now they're in the storm. And they're rowing, and they're depending on their own frailty, their own humanity. They're trying to weather the storm. They're trying not to sink. Jesus comes walking across the water. They think he's a ghost. He says, "Don't be afraid. Aren't you excited to know that your Heavenly Father, you know, his Son, his precious Holy Spirit looks at you and says, 'Don't be afraid.'" Hey, let me throw this at you real quick, okay? Just a little side note, little rabbit trail just for a second. There's so many people today that are so freaked out by the Holy Spirit. They love God the Father and Jesus the Son, but when it comes to the Holy Spirit, they actually get scared. Wait a second, time out here. This is the same Jesus that looks at his disciples and says, "Don't be afraid, it's me." No fear. Of course, Peter, you got to love Peter, you know? You just got to love the guy. He's going to open his mouth, be the first one to speak. He's not going to rationalize everything away. He's not going to try to explain away. It's not all about strategy and plan. He's just going to look and go, "If that's you, Jesus, call me out on the water." We know how that happened. It worked, right? For a while. Same story here. That's what we did the last 2 weeks. Let's read together. Same story. Verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there or his disciples, they themselves got into the boats, went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" It's like, Jesus, you snuck away, all right? What about us, is kind of what they're saying. Where'd you go? Why'd you leave us? How dare you? We found you. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for that food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst." So the crowd finds Jesus because here's what they know of this guy. We were hungry. We're there on the mountainside, on the hillside. We're there. We hear, you know, about this Jesus, but we're not totally sure about who he is. We're not absolutely certain. I mean, there was rumor, 5,000 people, there was rumor that there was really enough food that they did. Somebody said they started with just some loaves and fishes. We're not totally sure about the miracle. We just, all we know is this. We had spent time in Jesus' presence and he fed us. We got our bellies full. That's all we really know. And then he went missing. We got up and looked, and we can't find him anywhere. So here's the deal. We want to go find where he, let's go find where he is, because that's our next meal. That's our meal ticket. That's the source of blessing. Don't know really who he is, what he's got going on, but I'll tell you what. It worked for my stomach. How about you? I ate till I was full. So they go find Jesus, Capernaum, Peter's mother-in-law's town. They told us when we were in Capernaum last year, one of the reasons that they did a lot of fishing out of Capernaum, it's a seaside town, okay? They did a lot of trade there and stuff because the taxes were lower. Some things never change. You know what I'm saying? So they were crossing a border to save money on taxes. We're not going to get political here today, but I'm just telling you, it's kind of universal, all right? So he's in Capernaum. And they go and find him, and they say, Jesus, I mean, what's going on? And he says, the reason you're following me is because of your stomach. It's because of the physical. It's because of this world. And you don't understand what you truly have. What you have is the bread of life. Now, here's the one thing. Well, there's several things. But here's one thing that I find really interesting in this. It's that we go back to the miracle that they experienced, but it was one that was truly there, kind of rooted right in reality. I mean, it was real world kind of miracle stuff. It wasn't fancy. It wasn't fancy schmancy. What we're talking about here is more bread and more food. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a greater meal. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about rubber hitting the road kind of miracle. To think that Jesus uses this element, if you will, this thing, this object. They all knew what bread was, and they all knew how to feed themselves. They all knew when they were hungry. They all knew when they must eat. Growing weak. Got to do something. And Jesus acknowledges that. He sees that and he says, they can't make it to the next town to go get something to eat. This miracle needs to take place right here, kind of down where the rubber hits the road. This thing needs to take place right here, right now. And you guys are part of the miracle. And he uses bread. Here's the wild thing. That same crowd goes seeking something that's still temporal. It's still the Band-Aid. You realize, yeah, we got them fed. Good news for that. We got them fed. That was a meal. That was it. It wasn't breakfast the next morning. It was just the meal. But it was a Band-Aid. It was temporal. It was based in the here and now, and this is it. And Jesus says, I'm going to take this object of bread, and I want to make it so much more in your life. I want you to understand, I'm the bread of life. I am sustenance. I'm the carbs of life, which turn into the sugar, which fuel your brain. You ever been there? I'm diabetic. And hate that, because it's just an ongoing kind of reminder that I'm supposed to eat, you know, healthy. Okay, you know what I'm saying? You know how much fun it is to eat healthy? It's not, if you can't tell, right? It's not fun at all to eat, quote, healthy, all right? Marshall asked me last night. She got up and was doing something at the banquet, and she came back and she said, did you eat the dessert? And I said, yes, I did, all right? And it wasn't healthy, and I know that. That's not right. I also know what it is to allow the physical body here to run too low on the carbs. I know what it is to need a swig of orange juice, a slice of bread, whatever. Long range sugar giving, short burst of energy, short impact of sugar. It turns into fuel for your body, and without it, things don't function as well. Not as well. You can't think straight. My vision gets blurry. Get weak. I can tell when the sugar is going south because I'm like, okay, I got to sit down and have dessert. No, I'm not supposed to say that. Or I'm not supposed to sit down and have dessert. I'm just supposed to sit down and be smart about it. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Now the question is, what are you feeding yourself? Spiritually, what are we feeding ourselves? What's that mean? Well, I mean, it can be so much as, are we eating the right things? Are we reading the counsel of the Word of God? Are we following after Jesus for the right things? Or are we following him for what he can do for us? Is he our heavenly Santa Claus this time of year? One of the questions I have for you today is, we're going to do something different in ending the service today. Very different. I don't think I've done this before. One of the questions I have for you today is, when I consider the blessings of God, if God never blessed your life from this point forward, would you still be content? Man, awesome question. That's a good question. Spirit gave me that question. I didn't come up with that one on my own. Probably spoke it to me first. Sometimes the best questions I come up with are the ones I have most for me, okay? If he never blessed my life 1 ounce more than what he's done up until now, would I still love him? Would I still serve him? Could I still be submissive to him? Would I still trust him? Would it be enough? Would the promise of eternity with him simply be enough? Here's how we're going to end today. We're going to end in a very interactive way. If you'll, Dave, can you come here and help me? Get your red socks. I thought that was an IU shirt. So can you go sit down? Okay. No, I'm teasing. All right. Oh, very nice. Very nice. Very nice. I've got some bread here today, and I've got 4 little tables. There's one right down back there behind Jen, and there's one over here too. You take these along with the whole grain. I'm going to give you one at a time because I'm going to talk about them while you're putting them out. And take the plastic off and take those cards and set those on that back table back there. I have 4 baskets of bread. Here's the thing. It's all leavened. No unleavened bread here, okay? Good Old Testament times here, we just said, this is sinful bread, okay? And when you get down to the King's Hawaiian, you might be right, all right? So, but that's not the point. It's an object lesson. He still used something very, very common. Once you think about this today, he used something very, very common. It's right there within your life to communicate his presence, to speak. Don't be surprised when he uses the common in your life as something that he truly speaks through. So that thing of bread back there that we put back there in this little card, I want you to take a piece of the bread, use the tongs if you will, it's flu season. Use the tongs and take a piece of bread, and there's a card there. You don't have to go around to all these stations if you don't want to. You can just pick one of the 4 that I'm going to talk about here for a couple moments. You can just pick one of them. You can come back to your seat and you can eat the bread and you can sit and you can look at the questions and you can make this a very, very individual and personal time, or you could pull a friend aside and you can talk about it. It's okay. You just do it however the Spirit wants you to do it. But it hit me this week when he said, I'm the bread of life. And I thought, you know, Lord, we're going to consume some bread. We're going to have communion, but not in a New Testament kind of way. See, communion, in essence, kind of existed before, as in simply the common meal. And the breaking of bread was something that referred to the blessing at the beginning of the meal. The breaking of the bread was the beginning of that shared experience and the beginning of that meal. So although this is not the cup and the bread in the way that many of us know what communion is, this is just simply another aspect of our meal. We're continuing with breakfast, if you will, with a piece of bread that represents something a little different. So that is multi-grain bread, you know, the kind with lots of, I feel better about it, it's supposed to be better. It's like healthier, right? It's got like the whole grains in it. Here's what, the whole grain reminds us of our individuality in life. And I see all of those nuggets, if you will, that are in that bread, I see them as the details of life, and I have two questions. Details often consume us. List two details that have become a hindrance in your walk with Christ. A lot of times we get caught up in the details. We lose the whole slice of bread. We lose the bread of life because all we do is focus on the one grain, the one thing. Maybe that's one grain is what you need to give up today. And that's what the Spirit would speak to you. But it's not just what you need to give up. I put this one too. List two details that are distinctive of your individuality. How can God use those characteristics for His glory? Because each one of us is unique and God has a place for us. So it's not just the negative about what you need to give up. It's also, well, how has He wired me? What passions He put on my heart? What have I been thinking about lately? What have I been burdened about? What have I been crying over? What is it that hurts my heart that I feel like I'm supposed to be involved? I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to give? I'm supposed to participate? That bread there, as you consume it, that's a bit on the grainy side. Take this one, if you would, Dave, and put it right here on this one right here. Oh, this one's kind of fun. This one is sweet. This one's sweet. You know what's really fun about this bread? This is that King's Hawaiian bread, okay? It's good stuff. Oh, it's all, and I know there's some kind of recipe that Mike Samide made one time with little sandwiches and butter all over it, and then he bakes them and everything, and you just have to repent after eating one of those, okay? I mean, they are awesome. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. What about the sweetness of our Savior? What about the sweetness of God? I wrote two questions for the sweet bread for you to consider. List a few things today that are blessings from God in your life. Does your life reflect the sweetness of God's forgiveness? There's another question on there. I won't even have time to go into it. We can just take that one right there. Do our lives reflect the sweetness of salvation, of knowing God's forgiveness? Man, that's awesome. Good question. Maybe you want to head to that station. Maybe you want to do both those. Maybe you want to do all four of these. That's up to you. Here's another one, Dave. And this one is opposite of sweet. You can put it over here in the sun if you want. It's sourdough. It's sourdough. What are you doing with sourdough? A couple of questions. These are the wrong questions. Somehow these are the wrong questions. Different label, but different wrong questions. These are all about, well, maybe they're not the wrong ones. What are the details of your life that inhibit your faith? What are the things that as you eat that honestly sour your relationship with God? Can you experience God's forgiveness? Can you experience His forgiveness and embrace that forgiveness, knowing that there's some things that just God says, I don't have that for your life. How do you feel knowing that God cares about every detail of your life, even those experiences that are a little bit bitter and difficult to swallow? How do you feel about that? Maybe that's the one alone that you need to go do. I don't know. Again, it's completely up to you. And then there's one last one. And I know which one this is. The one last one I'm going to ask you to participate in. There's that. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. That's good old Wonder Bread. It builds strong bones. That's Wonder Bread. It's just good old plain white bread. It's what is intended to be on every PB&J ever made, okay? I don't think it goes on whole grain bread or King's Hawaiian bread you got to have good old Wonder Bread for a PB&J. And here's what I'm thinking. That white bread, well, that's childlike faith. What about your childlike faith? And here's the questions I wrote that. What is God calling you to that requires a childhood faith? A childlike faith. And then finally, this one right here. And this is one that I struggle with. Do you need to repent of cynicism? Do you need to repent of cynicism? Have you seen so much of this world and so much of what is deemed failure that you kind of go, yeah, we'll just see? Maybe God's calling us back to a childlike faith, engaged with Him, leaving the possibilities to Him. So this is how we're going to end our service for like next 10, 15 minutes, whatever. I mean, there's no reason to rush. I'm going to pray. Dwayne's going to play some little bit of music in the background. And I'd just like you to take some time to engage this passage in a kind of a physical way. I am the bread of life. Whoever partakes of me will never hunger and never thirst again. I am more than enough. Father, I pray in the next few moments, Lord, as we just take some time to think about our relationship with You and our walk with You, Lord, that we would realize, Father, and take You at Your word, take You at Your promise, take You at Your statement that You are more than enough. You are our sustenance, Father. You are our bread. And so, Father, as we consider, Father, what You're speaking to us by Your Holy Spirit, take Your words, take Your message, make it very personal in our life. Father, I thank You for that. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed at this time. If people need to feel like you need to go, that's fine. But these stations are open. These chairs are open. These altars are open. And we're just going to spend on the next few moments just letting the Holy Spirit do one more work in our life yet this morning. Amen.